Rian, you are the communication specialist with UNICEF. First, tell us briefly about this video on children, nightmares and associated with children during conflict. Tell us about this launch particularly. What is it all about?
So we have made a video series comprising of 5 videos. And we have interviewed children formerly associated with armed forces and armed groups about their nightmares. I have been working in South Sudan for now approximately 3 years, mm-hmm. and I've been working a lot with these children. And something that I picked up very quickly is that a lot of them were complaining about nightmares after they came out of the bush. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I wanted to document properly. And so I interviewed these children about their recurring nightmares. And what I found was that they were having the same nightmares over and over. And, you know, we all have bad dreams from time to time. But these nightmares are different because they are almost like re-traumatizing them. It's like horror. They wake up and they can't sleep again. And when you can't sleep, I mean, when you're going to school in the morning, you are tired and you can't really perform at school. And it affects your mental health. And so it's very difficult to move on with your life unless you're able to process these nightmares. Mm-hmm. The good part is that we are able to help these children. Many children are telling me that the social workers have really been able to help them kind of process these memories that they have from the bush. Mm-hmm. And now they are seeing that the nightmares become more and more rare. Some of them don't even have nightmares anymore. They might have the same nightmares as you and I, mm-hmm. now and then,
nightmares.
We all do.
Yes.
But they don't have these horror nightmares where they feel that their lives are threatened anymore.
Yes.
So this is what the video series is about. It's really to show these nightmares, but also it's a message of hope, I would say, that it is possible to do something to change a very difficult situation and for them to put their past behind them.
Yes, and Abraham, as you as a social worker, you work with the children, what could be the cause? I mean, like, what triggered these nightmares? Much as the children, we know they have gone through quite a lot of things, but when someone is asleep, how does it work? How does it come to them at nightmares?
Yeah, thank you. For the children, you see, many children in South Sudan have been traumatized when war started. It came in their minds. You see, when these children reflect back to the time they joined the army, so is other children are abducted abruptly. They even don't know what happened. Other children, their parents are killed in front of them and are adopted immediately. So it came back as a memory when they come back to life and see that the father is not there, the mother is not there, and it's reintegrated back to the community. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you see them, this how they reflect back, they think of what happened in the day one and up to now, mm-hmm. what was the moving on from the bush, coming back to home, then see what happened again at mm-hmm. home.
All right. Now, Christian, as someone working with mental health, how does these nightmares affect the health of a child, mental health of a children?
Okay. Thank you. And first of all, it's important to know that there is a broad range of reactions that can happen with these children. But if we have pinpointed nightmares, it's just because it is like the worst scenario. Mm-hmm. You will see that these children, they can have, for example, irritability, aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. They can have sleep problems. It means that they are not able to sleep. Mm-hmm. And they can also have what we call re-experiencing reaction. Re-experiencing means that they are just seeing the event like it has occurred in the past, like as if it was in the present. It means that an event that happened, for example, 3 months ago or mm-hmm. 1 year ago, you are re-experiencing that event as if it was occurring here and now. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reaction. Another reaction is avoidance reaction. It means that the child, when you will see that this child is going to avoid all the places, the locations, the people that remind him the event. You see, mm-hmm. that means that even it can be even a date in the calendar. For example, if the child was abducted maybe a 2nd February, every 2nd February, you will see this child.
It triggers those kind of emotions. Yes.
Yeah. If he sees even someone who was looking like an aggressor at that time, it will trigger. That is what we call avoidance reaction. Anything is really avoiding. Even the thoughts or the conversations. If you want to start a conversation about what happened, the child is avoiding. So another a reaction is to be like jumpy. It's like in a kind of alertness. It means that the person he has a kind of heightened sense of current threat. It means that it behaves like something is gonna happen right now. You see, for example, if you close the door noisily, it will just be jumpy, and this kind of reaction you will see in the children. But let me say something very important: is that adults should not read the children following their own eyes or lenses. But we have most of the time to discuss with these children to let them know what they are feeling. You know, sometimes for us adults, we can say that, no, you are really traumatized. It is a catastrophe. But we don't need to know that children sometimes, some children may have strength, others they may not have. And in these videos, you will see that most of them, they are almost broken. They cannot handle the situation.
Indeed.
So it is important for people to know already the possible reaction of this child front of adversity.
All right, we'll get back to you as we continue with the program. And yes, let's talk to Helen. Helen, as UNICEF released this particular video, tell us first the content of this video. What do we see in this particular video? What can we learn from this video?
So there are 5 videos, and they all start with an introduction. The child is introducing itself. We keep the identity hidden. You can't see the face. We're not using their real names. And then the child is explaining what the nightmares they are experiencing, what it looks like. And we have used an animator to make an animation of their most common nightmares. And this is because we want to bring these nightmares to life, so the ones who are the viewers can actually kind of experience the nightmare a little bit, without all the gory details, because honestly, a lot of these nightmares are quite gory. There's a lot of killing, there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of... So we didn't want, as UNICEF, we can't issue videos that look like an action movie from Hollywood. So we try to do it in a very dignified way by using animations. And at the end of the video, the child is talking about the help they received and how that has helped them. And for me, what I've witnessed and what I've heard is that they always reference the social worker as the most important person in their lives when they're struggling. And I think this also has to do with something that Christian said, is about understanding the child, because as adults, we often look at the child and we have our own set of glasses on or lenses that we see the child through. But the social worker is trained to step aside a bit and look at the child through a different lens. And I think this is also some of the children, that's why they feel so confident when they're with their social worker, because the social worker understands the child's reaction in a different way. As adults, sometimes we see a child that is aggressive and we think, this is poorly raised, who is the mom, who is the dad, I need to talk to them.
Absolutely.
We don't understand what we are looking at as adults,
what the child has gone through and all that,
because we don't have that background. But a social worker is taking kind of a step to the side and looking at the child and can read a lot of things out of their reactions. So this is why the social workers are so important for these children, because they understand in a different way, and they also have tools in their toolbox for how to help them. There are several things you can do, for example, breathing exercises when you are going through these difficult emotions that Christian just explained. For example, breathing exercises can calm you down, for example, when you feel that, especially when you are at that heightened alert that Christian was talking about. Then if you kind of use your breathing to take you down to a normal breath, then that's one simple tool that social workers have in their toolboxes that they can teach these children so they can help themselves. Because that's what we want. We want independent children that can live fruitful lives.
Yeah.
And we can't be there for every second of their lives.
Indeed.
But we can give them the tools to also help themselves.
Great. Let's talk to the social worker in the studio here. Abraham, tell us about your work. How do you work with these children? How do you deal with children who are traumatized, children who have gone, who have seen things that children should not see? And you didn't mention earlier traumatized. How do you work with them?
Thank you. As a social worker, when these children are released from the army, they are brought for case management. The first thing is to assess these children and see what are their needs for these children in terms of psychological support, in terms of emotional, in terms of physical. So whenever you developed the case plan, you need to categorize and know actually what are the needs for these children and how you will address. So for these children, if I say it traumatized, the environment they were in is not the same the environment they came again. So you may see them, they see the people they met are the strangers. In the first place, you contact with the Kafa child as a social worker, the child will not be able to speak to you in the first day because he's thinking of that you may even be an enemy to him.
Oh, so
he look at you as you are somebody who is far from him. And whenever you approach this child in a good way, don't force this child to tell you more about the lives he experienced. You need to be social, you need to be friend to the child all the time until you may spend 1 week in assessment talking to the child and to identify what are the needs for this child before you open the file for case management. Because whenever you open that file for case management, you have already identified the needs and you will see what are the possible services around the child may be able to reach. So you explain to the child and the child may be able to say, okay, I need services A, I need services B, because in case management, we have the comprehensive case management for this CAFACT, which may involve also family tracing and reunification. So if I say family tracing and reunification, you may trace the parents, the child may be released from the army and the parents are in other state, not here in Juba. Maybe the child is released in Malacca, the parents are in Western Equatoria. So you need to use the family tracing to know where the parents are. Then it is the process now to go on and have a case management process with this child from the beginning of identification up to the last stage of case closure. So if you reunify the child from this end to the other end, then the other agency from the other state may go and close the case. But you as the social worker in this state, you are the one managing the case, you will do all the process up to step number five.
Great.
So for this child to be reunified. So there are so many challenges faced by social workers, especially with the CAFACT. This CAFACT are adults, see, adolescent boys and girls, see, from age of 12 to 15, 17. So you look them, they see themselves in the environment that they are elder people like others. If they need, if they did not meet the needs, the other people needs, then it looks people are driving cars, look people are eating good foods, and they see that what take us back. And they see other children are even going to schools and they are down. So you see this environment reaction also give social worker challenges to identify more need of this child. Of the child will be always aggressive to you and it needs the focus. We say the focus PSS and non-focus PSS in which you have a structural PSS activities for the child. So you give them what whatever they want. They can play, they can draw, they can do anything so that they express what they think is the problem in the community when they are reintegrated.
Great. We'll get back to you. It's already difficult enough to deal with teenagers, live along with issues that they're going through, like the trauma and whatsoever they have seen. So yes, thank you so much for talking to us here. Let's talk to Christian. You as a consultant on mental health. We're living in a society where sometimes people don't take, you know, mental health so seriously. They will just tell you, come on, you're a man, get over it, you know, and they don't seek for help. But for you, as dealing with these young people who have seen through a lot and trying to talk to them and, you know, getting them in the right frame of mind, how do you deal with them? And have you ever found this kind of resistance where people say, I'll just get over it myself and not seek for advice as such?
Yeah, it's true. What you are raising is an important concern in South Sudan. And you know that, first of all, let me remind you some statistics. In South Sudan, we only have 3 psychiatrists, for example, for the whole population of South Sudan, and very few psychologists. Mm-hmm. So it is, the gap is very huge between the burden of mental health problems and the available resources. Mm-hmm. But now UNICEF is working with CAFAC, with social workers, to bridge that gap. Because we are in a situation, yourself, you have mentioned that sometimes people think that what is the importance of the psychologist when someone can even handle himself? Mm-hmm. What is the importance of a social worker? So actually, it's not actually a wrong standpoint, you know, because at the end, we have to teach people how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. We have noticed that there is a lack of mental health professionals. It means that the focus should be on self-help strategies. People should know how to self-help them, to help themselves. And Helen was highlighting the breathing exercises. Mm-hmm. It means that someone teaching, for example, a social worker how to do this breathing exercise can help the child. And you see that the child will not, it will not be an obligation for the child to meet a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Who is not available, who is not there, but the social worker will be able to do himself. For us as UNICEF, we are dedicated to strengthening the social workforce in the country. It means that people like social workers should be able to address the needs of CAFAC. How? For example, we have what we call psychological first aid. Psychological first aid is not a treatment, because when someone is hearing psychological, no, it's not a treatment. It is something even a journalist like you, mm-hmm. even a social worker, any person can provide psychological first aid to CAFAC, for example. Mm-hmm. That is our standpoint as UNICEF, to build the capacity of those people who are not specialists, like social workers. You have seen when Abraham was explaining very well. It means that he's not replacing a psychologist, but he's filling this gap. By, for example, we have three simple steps. It's like tips to handle this kind of situation. Look, listen, and link. Look, it means that you look just the reaction of the child. I've mentioned the reactions, the various reactions of a child. And we need to differentiate the normal reactions from the abnormal reactions. Do not assume that because a child is crying, it means that he has a problem. You know, everyone can cry, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you not assume that because someone is aggressive, it means that he has a problem. Everyone can be irritable at a specific situation. So we train them to look carefully and to differentiate what are the normal reactions in front of adversity, like frightening nightmares, and repeated worries and depressed and anxious mood. So once you are able to look all the reactions, you have to listen. We have mentioned that we should not diagnose already. And actually, the social workers who are working with UNICEF are not expected to make diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You know that the diagnosis can be only made by a psychiatrist and a psychologist. Mm-hmm. In our approach as UNICEF, it is a transdiagnostic approach. It means that when we are dealing with the child, we are not in search of a mental condition. Mm-hmm. Do not approach the child as if you were looking necessarily something wrong behind. Because I've mentioned that some of these children, they may have strength, a lot of resources to cope with adversity. So listening to them give them a space to express themselves without pressurizing. They have to be, sometimes they will, you will see some children, they are very quiet. You can even spend 1 hour, the child is not able to speak a single word. So you should not be in a hurry to say, no, you have to tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. And when you do like that, you are going to traumatize again the child. And then the second aspect is, the third aspect is link. Look, listen, and link. Link, it is what Abraham was explaining, linking the child to the available services. This has to deal with, for example, the specialized treatment, because some of these children, some of them, maybe very few, they may need a psychiatric care. So even if it is not always recommended to give psychotropic drugs to children, some of them may need specialized support. That means a support that goes beyond the social worker and other people.
Great.
So we have to see how to link these children to the available service, to the community, to discuss each other, because the more they are discussing each other, the more they are releasing these bad emotions. This is really important.
Great. You're listening to the Miraya Breakfast, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. My guest today here are from UNICEF and also a social worker from MTT. We are discussing and looking at this launch that UNICEF is launching, a series of videos highlighting on nightmares in children associated with armed forces and armed groups. Now, Helen, as you did mention earlier, that this is a problem. Now, how serious of a problem is this particular issue of nightmares in children? How serious is this issue, and how many so far have UNICEF recorded?
So this is a very serious issue for many children. And especially because when they have these recurring nightmares, it's like they're being re-traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very serious issue because it affects their entire life. When you can't sleep at night and you wake up feeling that your life is threatened, mm-hmm. Your adrenaline is flowing, your brain is in panic mode, and it affects your entire life. It will be difficult to go to school and concentrate. It will be difficult to have the energy to play and interact with other people. You might be more withdrawn. We all have nightmares and bad dreams from time to time, but this is different. This is paralyzing their lives, and this is why we have to deal with it. And that's also why we have to talk about it.
And this is related to things that happen to them because of the experiences that they have gone through, not like any other person just having nightmares.
Yes, so these are linked to their experiences in the bush.
All right.
And I think some of the most important things that we are doing, and this is why we wanted to launch this series, is to talk about it. Because still, you also asked a really good question, like, do people say, you're a man, just man up and deal with it? And I think that's a very common approach because people don't know a lot about mental health and the importance of the mental and physical well-being. Actually, our mental health is affecting our physical health and also vice versa. And I think some of the most important things that we are doing is actually talking about it, because then we increase the knowledge and then we can also support each other. Because as Christian said, we can't be there for every second of a child's life. We need to teach them coping mechanisms. And part of that is also to make sure they have a supportive community, that they're around people that love them and care about them, and where they can be themselves and find support when they need support.
Great.
And part of that is for the people to acknowledge that this is a problem that exists
and has to be addressed. All right, thank you, Helen. And Christian will be leaving us shortly. And Christian, just before you go, any final remarks on how we can handle issues of mental health? Let's take this opportunity, not only for children, because mental health as well affect elders. And sometimes you find that people resort to drinking, taking drugs, and to cope up with whatsoever they're going through mentally. What advice do you have for people on mental health? A general advice just before you leave us in the studio.
Okay, I have two main advices. First of all, they have to know their coping mechanisms. You know, we have emphasized here the importance of self-help strategies. Mm-hmm. It means that you have to be able to understand your own reaction. If we treat a child can recognize, we can teach them self-awareness. Mm-hmm. How am I feeling now? We can teach them gratefulness. If I have eaten this morning, I have to be happy. Mm-hmm. We can teach them to this kind of this coping mechanism. And then in this coping mechanism, we have to differentiate the negative ones, like mm-hmm. Drinking alcohol. This can be because most of the people, they think that, oh, if I drink alcohol, I will forget my problems. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's just temporarily that you are
you're
going
suspending
to
it.
Yes, yes. Right. So we have this issue that we have to prevent even among the CAFAC, the substance
abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even substance or alcohol, because people think that they can take some substances just to forget. This is a real risk even for this CAFAC. Mm-hmm. We have also the risk of committing suicide. People think that the relevant solution to their problem is to kill themselves. No. And we have noticed even in South Sudan a rise of suicide cases because people think that they can handle their problem by killing themselves. No. But now we have to understand that in South Sudan we are a kind of faith community. It means religious community. People believe in God in general in South Sudan. For me, I will recommend people to deal with pastor or priest if they believe in God, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that we are preaching God, but it means that it is part of the community support.
Great.
If I believe that the prayer of a priest can help me, it can help a child, yes, you know. Even if the priest is not a psychologist, but the fact that he believes that, oh, if the pastor or priest pray for me, I will be better.
All right.
So the second aspect is still the community support. As I was saying, Helen was emphasizing to not be alone. The child should not be alone.
Be with people who can help.
Always be people, community activities.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Christian. And we are discussing and looking at UNICEF launching a video series on nightmares in children associated with armed forces and armed groups. As you have heard earlier from above Helen, who is the communication specialist with UNICEF. We had Christian who just left. And also we have in the studio with us a social worker, Abraham Deng, who is a social worker at MTT. Now, Abraham, first, how many children are you looking at there at MTT? And you did mention some of the challenges earlier about teenagers being a little difficult to handle, and you know, but what other challenges do you go through and you think can be addressed to help these children?
Thank you. For our caseload as MTT, we have three thematic areas for child protection. We have the case management, and we have the justice for children. We also have the CAFAC. For the children I'm managing as CAFAC, we have a total caseload of 26 children, in which some of them are already successfully reunified, currently having 23 caseload of this CAFAC, boys and girls. Is still in my caseload. If I come to the challenges I may state it, you see, in child protection, there is one principle, the do no harm principles in child protection is an important thing, and the environment we are in sometime will make a case work out to do no harm principle in term of programming, in term of services delivery to the children, because you can program your activity based on the needs of these children, but at the family levels, when you approach the child at the community level, at the family levels, you take this child to, it will backfire back to you as you are somebody doing something maybe not good to the community. Because if the community are not aware of what are the importance of social workers in the community. And are these social workers doing well-being for the children? The community may have that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Social workers are the only people to work for children. But the work of social worker is to strengthen the community, the child and the community.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that child to the community and see what are the possible ways the community itself, the family and the child can link together.
All right.
You as a social worker, you need to support. But the community perspective is a great challenge because they expect more from social worker to do
than what than they can what actually they offer as well as community. All right. Thank you. Yes, talk to us. Our lines are open. Let's take a caller. Good morning. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Hello, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
My name is Franco Sevis. I'm calling from Jebel.
Yes, Franco Sevis from Jebel. It's good to have you, Franco. Please go ahead with your question or comment.
I'm speaking Arabic. I'm speaking Arabic.
Yes, what's the gidam? I'm muscular, Franco. What's the gidam to Ari?
Okay. I am a program. I'm a small quiz. I'm a little
muscular.
I'm a little muscular. I'm a child. I'm a little muscular. I'm a little muscular. I'm a little muscular. I'm a little ولا بيعمل له برنامج هذا برنامج من awareness اللي هو بده بتقول الشايل لأنه معظم الشايل ده اللي نشوفه الأسباب خلاهم يخشوا في الجيش ده هو الحرب الموجود في جنوب السودان ولا اثنين أكثر الشايل طبعا ما أسر بتاعه من موتوا أبواته من موتوا أو زي ما جينا موتوا أمته موتوا ما في حل خيار هو إلا كان هو قدر يعيش موضوع المعيشة هو اللي يخش في عسكرية كان هو يلقى أكل هو بياكله ولا بأي حاجة فأنا بسألهم إذا كان هو بعد ما رجعوا من المعسكر ده هل بيعمل له شنو عشان هو قدر ينفع نفسه عشان ما يخش في سوق
Sukran Kali Sabid Mamusara Kapitak Fi Barnamik Tena Tamiraya Breakfast Show. And yes, it about jobs Walde Abraham.
Hi. Sukran Franco. Thank you. They have hajat anna bishup fi mujtama batana ajat muhim. Another no goal fil awal fi swal bitak. El support. El wa support el manazamad bu dule hal amale yal gubal jana de ma maji bara min jej en de na aja yusumu national DDR el wa saita hukuma el wa bishakal ma manazamad kan jana de ji bara jana de basalo ABCD basalo fi ajat uba taro gube nepsu anasa nemsi le community anada nemsi madarsa another ni kun in the training of a vocational training another ikun der guru namul business besit de hajatel jana btaro lekin ita manda zama ita beji to chief el ajade el jana bogold omon fi wala mafi yan mafi jana mind zol itmal jana aho om mat wabu mat wakon kalo fi fizol grief yan fi shal akbata South Sudan institutionalization is not allowed yan yal bu kutu fi center bata yal de el ganun bata na dama deru lekin der jana de shufu damunu fi mujtama mungkin ishila musuale bata jana de yala el support el wa budile le jana de dabu shufu min montika el jala dama shifoko kan machi yambio bushufu madaris algaid fi yambio de kan jana der madarsa madaris hukumia kam kan jana de ma bagder yamsi fi madaris ra hukumia fi madaris kasa yala fi tijabata education nag de munzamat beside
bushufu yana muhim awel tang bayno jana dar jusunu tang basa do jana jusunu lu kelem waju tala mechanic wol waju amul carpenter wol sunu kre yata tang bayno kep tang bagra sadu jana def male.
Aye.
All right. Yes, let's take one more caller this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Hello, good morning. Hello? Well, you can call again. The numbers are 091-206-2950 or 091-206-2079 or 0921-90-2950 and 9091-90-2079 and be live this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. And it's coming up to just 6 minutes to the top of the hour. Yes, and Helen, the question Franco Sevid asked, which he answered perfectly, is about the support. Of what support do you give the children to ensure that they don't go back to the streets after leaving the armed forces and, you know, going to the streets or even going back to the army, because that's the only life they might have known if their parents were not there before. And he answered, like, first they look at what the child needs and they ask the child, and then they can give support according to what the child needs. Anything you like to add on that?
I wish I understood everything, but I know that Abraham is is very knowledgeable about this. I'm sure he answered it perfectly. But I just want to reiterate, there's some physical support in terms of, you know, they get some new clothes, they get some new shoes and all of that. But really, I would say, working here for 3 years now, that social workers are the backbone of the reintegration program, because it's really about finding a new path in life. It's really about, you know, being okay with the past and moving on. And you can have all the clothes in the world, but if you're not okay with yourself and your life, then it doesn't matter. So I would say that really, yes, we attend to the immediate needs of the child, which is a lot of the time is also very physical. Like, they need medical attention, they need all the basic items. But it's really the social worker that are doing all the hard work and really, you know, finding linkages in the communities and making sure that there's a support system in the community around the child. And this is long-term help, because as Christian also mentioned earlier, it's about finding durable solutions for finding a good way back, or looking forward, I would say, finding a new way forward into a new future.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. And yes, that is the time we have this morning here on the Mirab Breakfast. Of course, it's coming up to just 3 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to give you a chance to send your final remarks and messages. And let's begin with you, Mr. Abraham.
Yeah, thank you. The listeners from Raya and my guests in the studio, my message to the listeners as well as to the community, you see, children are not soldiers. So why? Because in our Child Act 2008, it is punishable. You recruit a child below age of 18 to the army, you are punishable for it. It has a penalty. So what I ask from our community is that the development of the child is from home to the community, to the government, to the international and other peoples.
But so it starts to start from
it
home.
Start from home.
Thank you.
So as a social worker, I may help a child to work to grow up well in the family when family are cooperative with me as well as with the child.
All right.
Let's take child participation as an important thing so that they can express.
Thank you. Thank you, Abraham. That's the time we have. We really do appreciate your time and thank you for coming. Yes, Helen, in less than 30 seconds, please, your final remarks.
2 points. The videos really show how damaging it is to use children in armed conflict. So that has to stop now. The recruitment and use, that needs to be khalas, okay?
All right.
That's number one. Number two is, like, talk to each other, be there for each other. We can talk about mental health and listen to the children and try to help them in any possible way. They need solid adults they can trust in their lives, and every adult here in South Sudan has the opportunity to be there for children.
Thank you. And one, just very quickly, where can I watch these videos?
You can watch them on UNICEF South Sudan's Facebook and YouTube channel.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.